We're glad you're joining us today. This is Tom and Julie Meekins of Champions for Parents, a ministry that seeks to empower and encourage all parents, especially those raising a child with special needs or any kind of challenges. Our goal is to help you as a parent to be a champion for your child. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about some strategies that have helped moms with morning sickness. Stay tuned for our Bible message and advice from moms who've been there and a dad who tells us what worked for his wife.
Okay, this week, before we talk about some ways that we can get you through the morning sickness, I can't relate to this because I haven't gone through morning sickness.
And you just had to endure your wife going through morning sickness.
I had to endure my wife going to the morning sickness. Some thoughts just to share with you. I'm thinking of a very busy day that Jesus had in his ministry. And while it was in the morning, the next morning, after his very busy day, he got up and went and prayed. And so I just wanted to turn your attention to Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 21. When Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum and the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue. He began to teach. The people were amazed at his teachings because he taught them as one who had authority. And so as he's teaching, which is fascinating, a man in the synagogue comes forward and cries out, and he heals the evil spirit in that man. A little bit further, Jesus leaves the synagogue. This is the same day. And he goes and meets Simon's mother-in-law, Simon Peter, who was sick. If you never knew that Simon was married and had a mother-in-law, this is where I found out when I was a young believer.
Many years ago.
Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. This is verse 31, Mark chapter 1. So he went to her, took her hand, helped her up. The fever left, and she began to wait on them. And so verse 32 then goes on to the next event. The evening after sunset, people in the town brought those who were sick and demon-possessed to Jesus and were told in verse 34 that Jesus healed many. So after this long and tiring day of ministry and work, and moms, I know you're there with all the work that you have to do with your children throughout each day. Jesus, very early the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, this is verse 35, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And so if Jesus needed to spend time with his heavenly Father in prayer, our encouragement is we need the same thing.
How much more?
How much more?
Because we are human people.
And then that gets me to Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Is anybody else singing?
Yes.
As you were reading that verse, that song, that precious hymn was going through my mind.
Yes, God's mercies is new when?
Every morning. And you know, when you're dealing with morning sickness, you need some new mercies every morning. It's been a long time since I've experienced morning sickness. However, I do remember it well. Some would say that my version was pretty mild. And listening to the war stories of other moms, I would have to agree. Any form of morning sickness, however, can render it difficult to focus on the other things of life, such as caring for other children, holding down a job, cooking meals, oh heavens, cooking meals, and doing just about anything, especially if it has any kind of odors associated with it, or requires stamina and focus. And what works for one mom doesn't even touch the problem for another. A dear friend recently experienced some pretty severe morning sickness. And while I was praying for her, it occurred to me that other moms may have some advice that might work to alleviate some, if not all, of her miserable symptoms. And so, what does everybody do when they're looking for some ideas? I wrote a post on Facebook, requesting ideas from other moms. Wow, the response was amazing. So many wonderful ideas to try. That is why we decided that we would take on the topic of morning sickness today. We decided that you may be one of those moms who is in need of some fresh ideas to curb the misery of morning sickness. And if you're not in that condition right now, you might be in the future and need some help. Here are some of the pearls of wisdom. Our daughter Katie recommends C-bands, peppermints, and staying hydrated. C-band is a knitted, elasticated wristband, I got this from their website, which operates by applying pressure on acupressure points on each wrist by means of a plastic stud. Because the bands do not use drugs, they do not cause any of the side effects associated with anti-nausea drugs and can be worn on each wrist whenever you feel nauseous. They are suitable for adults and children. Katie also suggested peppermint, and then also Nancy and Sarita agreed. Morgan also added, Walgreens has ginger gum in the seasickness aisle, and that helped her. And we're going to talk about ginger a little bit some more too, and ginger chews from the organic aisle. Staying hydrated was another thing that Katie mentioned. It's very important to keep your body hydrated, but some moms share that it's a struggle because water can be problematic, can't it? Some have suggested sucking on ice chips. One said frozen blueberries saved her. Maggie suggested that you don't drink water straight, add fruit or cucumbers, or drink carbonated water, or add a powder supplement to help hydration, like something called Replenish. Maggie also suggested small meals and more of them. Eat whatever sounds good and don't worry about weight or nutrients as long as you're taking a vitamin. I had HG, which we're going to talk about a little bit more and get a little bit more detailed about it, and had to be on a drug called, now I'm not good at pronouncing drugs, so it's D-I-C-L-E-G-I-S, Dysglycis or something like that, which is a combo of B6 and Unisom. Make a night and day difference for me. That made a night and day difference for Maggie. Peppermint also helped too, in oil, in the air, in food, like peppermint patties. A mom of 10 children who spent years with her family in Africa gave this advice: a good probiotic. Vitamin B6 at night in combination, I think the key word here is combination, with Unisom. And Maggie had already talked about that, B6 and Unisom, which is just a certain type of antihistamine. Also, this mom of 10 suggested papaya enzyme, and then eating little snacks of protein as continually as you can, like almonds, cheese, lunch meat. That's what helped her. She also said, I think the key is not having an empty stomach, and Maggie was referring to that as well. She even kept food by her bed to eat at night. And when I woke in the morning, she said something like a healthy bran muffin. I was sick for about 25 weeks with all 9 until my youngest came along and I had started taking probiotics before her pregnancy. I was barely sick with her at all. Shame we quit at 10 since I finally figured it out. Ann Rachel, you're a hoot. One dad of a sweet baby girl chimed in to let us know that FOS food from Standard Process was wildly effective for his wife. FOS food is a liquid that encourages a healthy blood calcium phosphorus ratio. We'll put that link in the show notes for you to check it out. Thank you, Lucas. Grandmothers chimed in to say that back in the day, saltine crackers were the go-to for morning sickness. Thank you, Sharon, Tate, and Vicky. Stephanie agreed, even though she's not a grandmother yet. I know I ate my share of saltine crackers with my 4. Grandmother Noelle says, the lady in the apartment next to ours fried bacon every morning. The smell! Exclamation point. I ate 4 dry crackers and it seemed to help. But to this day, I don't care for bacon. Yeah, some of those memories. I remember Tom bought peanut butter when I was pregnant with one of our children. It was on sale, so he bought a lot of it because it was on sale. And we ate a lot of peanut butter back in the day. And I, you know, for years, I really didn't care to even look at a container of peanut butter. Sometimes morning sickness can be taken to a whole new level and could be a serious health concern for both mommy and baby. Thank you, Paula, for sharing this information. It's more than normal, if it is more than normal sickness, morning sickness, it should probably be evaluated for hyperemesis. I guess that's how you say that, or HG, like Maggie was referring to it. Our daughter, according to Paula, had it with both pregnancies. And then there's a link that she is sharing with us. We'll put that on the show notes as well that you can go to for help. It's helpher.org and gives some good ideas. Jennifer suggested alfalfa, tea or tablets, or whatever can be tolerated. It helped her a lot. Kathy says her pregnant daughter is taking Bonine at her doctor's recommendation. I looked that up and found out that Bonine is also an antihistamine that's used to prevent and treat nausea. Again, ginger, a recommendation by several moms. Thank you, Jill, Nancy, Doreen, and Dee. Estelle says homemade protein shakes as the base, and then I added fruit, veggies, etc., or whatever I could tolerate in the shakes. Of course, I consulted my OBGYN docs, and they were fine with that. That was the only way I was able to get through the first trimester, though, and then I was fine after that. There are a few pages in the book, You're Not Sick, You're Thirsty. This is a suggestion from Tara about the connection between pregnancy, nausea, and dehydration. Tara says it's the first sign of connection between fetus and mom that there's a need for more water or that dehydration is already present caused by histamine. He goes on to explain in the book, most women have adjusted their water intake appropriately by the second trimester, and the nausea subsides. Several comments about histamine. Isn't that interesting? Here's an idea from Jessica. I took Centronatal B Calm prenatal vitamins, and they worked wonders for me. My doctor prescribed them for me. Malia and Jen both had to resort to Sofran. From Aaliyah, I had hyperemesis, I hope I'm saying that right, tried everything, literally everything, nothing worked. You should have seen my internet search history during my pregnancy. In the end, only Zofran helped me kept me from vomiting all day and all night. I lost 10 pounds in the first trimester and my morning sickness lasted until 31 weeks. I've since learned that magnesium oil applied directly to the skin might help some. So, there you have it. Lots of wonderful ideas from those who have been there. We rejoice with you that a new little life is growing within you. Congratulations.
Very popular topic. Lots of input.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so now we come to that time in the podcast where we have
the tip of the week. And this week we are talking about four solutions for clothing dilemmas. Clothing dilemmas, we're calling this. Our children who have sensory concerns struggle sometimes with wearing certain clothes. Some of them struggle with wearing any clothes. Some of them will only wear one dress or one kind of pants or one kind of shirt. Some have a great deal of difficulty with wearing socks and shoes.
That can be very challenging for parents. We have some solutions for you. These four targeted activities have made a world of difference for children who have clothing issues, and we had them in our own house, didn't we?
Yes, absolutely. The first one would be the scratchy glove. We call it a scratchy glove. It's a bath glove. Rub with the bath glove, and you can. We like to call them the scratchy gloves. You put the glove on your hand, and then very lightly rub the glove over all four limbs, the torso, and any areas that are bothered by tags or certain fabrics twice a day for 3 minutes. Now, we had a daughter that couldn't stand the lines that she felt through her clothing. We couldn't understand what that was, but apparently it was the seams or the wrinkles or something that just bothered her through the clothes, and so this would help.
This was a great help to her for that problem. And here's a hint for you. Some children can't tolerate even that you know, twice a day for 3 minutes. They can't tolerate it. So if you set a timer for an allotted time and then focus on the activity, when the timer goes off, you're done. If your child is highly sensitive, you may have to build the time. If so, you can even start with 30 seconds at a time and then build up. So here's another, it's kind of in addition to what you're doing already with the scratchy glove, you want to talk about that
right.
one?
Right, it's called, we're calling it fabric rub. Find other fabrics such as lamb's wool, burlap, fleece, denim, satin, etc. Very similar to what you're doing with the scratchy gloves. Rotate through whatever fabrics you have lined up very lightly. Rub the fabric over the skin. Now, depending on the severity of your child's struggle, do this in addition to the scratchy glove time for 2 or 3 minutes several times a day. Each time you do the activity, limit it to no more than 3 minutes. More often for those 3 minutes at a time will be more effective.
So it just depends on how severe it is for your child.
Right.
And then a third thing that is a solution for children who have clothing dilemmas and the parents who are trying to clothe them, mindset.
Mindset. Sometimes a child's struggle gets rooted into the way they think. We may have to help them out. Help them out of the rut that they're in with their belief system. And you can do this by creating digital recordings, social stories, or by role-playing with your child. The idea is to input the correct information, the truth about the matter. There are always, these are always positive recordings. You know, you're giving your child information that they probably do not have.
So let's talk a little bit longer about digital recordings, because this is a new concept for a lot of people. So you prepare the recordings for them to listen to throughout the day and even while they're sleeping. We suggest digital recordings as a wonderful tool for helping children to embrace new information in their world. We've seen some homemade recordings make a huge difference for children. So what would these recordings look like? You'd make the script in first person as if the child is saying these words. You would make the recordings that are to be listened to during the day no more than 3 minutes long. You can also make recordings for the child to listen to while he or she is sleeping as well. And those scripts could be as long as you want them to be. And they could go something like this. Here's an example. I love to wear all kinds of different clothes. Now remember, this isn't true yet, but this is the truth we want them to grab, right? So it's as if it's already happened. My favorite right now is, and you can say whatever it is, we have a client who has a favorite dress that she likes to wear. So for her, that would be my favorite right now is my pink dress. But I also like to wear jeans and button-down shirts and whatever it is that you want them to wear. Mommy wears lots of different kinds of clothes. She wears different kinds of dresses, pants and shirts, etc. Some clothes are what she needs to wear to work. Some are what she needs to wear to work in the garden. Some are what she wears to clean our house. Some she wears to bed. Daddy wears lots of different clothes too. He has to wear, and then you can say what Daddy has to wear to work. He likes to wear whatever when he cuts the grass. Maybe he needs to wear his tennis shoes and socks and long pants to cut the grass. And you might say in this recording, I have to wear certain kinds of clothes to school. And then I can wear my favorites when I'm home or when I play with my friends or when I go to grandma's house or whatever is appropriate for your family. So you get the idea. But like Tom said, always keep the scripts very positive. Whatever you want the child to be thinking, the truth you want him or her to understand, that's what you're going to put into the script. It's not brainwashing. It's teaching. This is inputting truth. Create the script to advance to the stage where you want your child to be. You can also create social stories. Some resources for helping you to create social stories are sandboxlearning.com and easysocialstories.com, and we'll put those in the show notes as well.
And the fourth method that you could use is a timer or a game, a clothes game. Now, I have several different kinds of clothing ready that you would want your child to get used to wearing. You know, have your child pick one of them. Encourage him to wear that piece of clothing, or at least drape it over his skin, arm, leg, and things like that. Set a time for a designated period of time. When the timer goes off, let your child pick another item. Go through as many different items as you have time for.
Here's a hint. Some children will be able to wear the clothing for minutes at a time. Some will only be able to tolerate them for a few seconds at a time. Some won't even be ready yet to put them on properly, but they might let you drape them over the arms or the legs. You know your child. Start with small amounts of time, even seconds is okay. And then we get all excited when those seconds are over and they've actually kept the fabric on them in some way. The key is you want your child to feel that victory of wearing the clothing for the allotted time. You may want to engage in this activity with your child, with your own different types of clothing. Role modeling is very effective in teaching our children. So you might need to model the game first with your own clothing before your child may be ready to venture. The key with all these activities is to help get your child out of the rut.
Very, very, very important.
In a positive and encouraging way. We have no idea really what they're feeling, and we want to be compassionate. It may seem like no big deal to us for a kid to just put on the clothing we want them to wear, and we may be inclined to be heavy-handed with it. Please stop a minute and consider that your child is struggling, and those struggles for them are real, just like our struggles are real for us. The other thing I want to mention that is really important is this. Through the years, Tom and I have seen children who have been allowed to stay stuck with these and other kinds of ruts. It has not served them well. Often they go deeper and deeper into their rut and into their own little worlds. Just recently, we read a story about a little girl who was obsessed with one shirt. Her mother was able to find the shirt in her size for several years in a row. Apparently, the child wore the same shirt very often, maybe every day. Then she outgrew the available sizes the shirt was found in. This was a dilemma. The mother made an appeal on Facebook to her friends to help her find this shirt in larger sizes. The response was that she began to receive this shirt in her mailbox over and over again. Folks, even strangers, and eventually the store itself decided to accommodate this family with oodles and oodles of this shirt in various sizes. Well, this is a wonderful human interest story, and I really am so blessed to hear about people caring enough to want to love on this family. It is my opinion that in the long run, they were probably not doing this girl any favors. It's not good for any of us to stay stuck in those kinds of obsessive ruts. As a mom, I worked hard to help my children move on. If you think like we do, we encourage you to do the activities that we've mentioned today.
Okay, thank you, Julie. So thanks for being with us. Remember that it's never too late and there's always hope for your child. We are Tom and Julie Meekins, and we bring you these podcasts through the Ministry of Champions for Parents. We are USA missionaries to parents, especially to those who are raising a special needs child or a child with challenges, through pefministry.org. Our goal is to help you, as a parent, to be a champion for your child. We teach online classes and love to speak in person to parent groups wherever they may meet. We also like to talk to church groups about our ministry to see if they want to join our team and come on board to offer support, encouragement, and empowerment to all parents, especially to those who are raising a child with any kind of challenges within their communities and beyond. If you know of any parenting groups who are looking for a speaker, send us an email at championsforparents, that's the number 4, championsforparents@gmail.com. Let's get the conversation started. And if you want to receive our monthly ministry newsletter, please send us an email at championsforparents@gmail.com. We would love to connect with you.
We know you already have a heart for giving and are looking for ministries that resonate with you. If you too have a heart for kids who struggle with their families and you are looking to partner financially with a team who deeply cares, who has been there, and who is on the cutting edge of providing opportunities for empowerment for these families, get in touch with us at championsforparents@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to the next time. May you have joy in your parenting journey.
Goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.